Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Board Drive, episode 121. It's all about Arsenal. We're here to dismantle this man's team because they have absolutely hit the mud.
It's been a bad week. It's been a bad, bad week. I've been wanting to talk about Arsenal for a while now because the performances and the results have been eh. But there's kind of like, there is problems going on, obviously. Saka being out kind of has led to a lot of those problems coming to the surface.
Yeah.
And now back-to-back L's, two different kinds of L's, but pretty much two competitions now that we're out of.
Mm.
We said at the start of the season, Arteta, just get some silverware. And then as the season progressed, we're doing all right in the league, but Liverpool look like they're running away with it. An FA Cup or a Carabao, that's a good bit of take-home.
It gives you a little bit of time, doesn't it?
It does. And I think that's what people, the Arsenal fans, are starting to get a little bit tetchy with. And then this week came around, Newcastle in the first leg of the Carabao at home, and then Man United in the third round of the FA Cup. You're thinking, home game against Newcastle. Newcastle are in good run form.
Yeah, then by no means a bad team. And
and I tweeted this after the game. I was like, Newcastle, they've got a good team and we'll get on to that. But they can...
They're like top of the form table.
They can beat anyone at the moment. They've arguably got the best striker in the league.
Yeah.
So that's that. And then Man United at home as well. Man United, who look absolutely pants under Amorim.
Yeah.
Just had a good result against Liverpool, but...
They're celebrating a draw like it's a win.
Apart from that, you go into that game thinking, knock them out of the FA Cup, happy days.
Yeah.
Little did we know that that is not how things pan out.
No.
When you're an Arsenal fan, life is not easy.
Where do we begin? Do we begin by talking about that Newcastle game?
Let's
where
do
it. All went wrong? So, as you said in the build-up, Arsenal's performances haven't been great. Saka getting injured has unveiled a lot of the cracks that were previously been papered over.
Yeah. It was a weird one because we had Brentford just before the Newcastle game. And I was like, oh, that could be a techie game. But
really good.
We were all right. And when Eri came in, he looked really good. He also got injured, which doesn't help.
No.
But that game, I was like, oh, we look all right. Maybe we can run with no Saka.
What you said a few weeks ago on the podcast is Arsenal's goal right now, with Saka being out, is just don't lose any more ground at Liverpool.
Mm.
And then hopefully he's back in March. You can make it like a late run for the title. The ground is going to be lost, judging on the performances.
The ground is shaky.
Provided against Newcastle and Man United.
Yeah.
Against Newcastle, like you said, Newcastle sit top of the form table in the Premier League. I think what they're like 6 wins out of 6.
Mm.
They play some, put up some really good numbers, really good performances. Alexander Isak looks like the best striker in the world at the minute. But you would be hoping as an Arsenal fan to be holding on to sort of your great defensive record and think, right, well, we could definitely at least take this as a 0-0 back to St. James's Park.
Mm.
Got fucking battered.
Battered. And I'm not even like going to paper over it and say, oh, we weren't that bad. We were shit. We got battered by a good team.
The team, they could have had 4.
Yeah. And, oh, mate, I don't really know where to start. It's like the Man United and Newcastle games are so kind of, they kind of tell the story of what's going on at Arsenal. Newcastle, a good team. If we come up against a good team, good form, good players on it, we can get put to the sword. And then on the other end, if we come up against a shit team, low block,
hit on the counter.
Yeah, the play on the counter can kind of hang tough defensively. Harry Maguire, Dilly had a really good game. Mm. We can't break down anyone because we're not creative at all.
And you haven't got Saka to get you out of those situations.
So yeah, against a good team, we'll get touched up. Against a low block, kind of good, solid defensive team, we can't do the touching.
Against a medium team like Brentford, you're right.
Exactly. So it's a techie one at the moment where we, against big teams and teams in good form, I don't mind that so much. Mm. Like our record against the top six is good, although this season hasn't been great. But it's the low block kind of lack of creativity that's a bigger problem for me.
Yeah, I think your season was defined early on by your lack of ability to score goals from open play and your reliance on set pieces.
Facts.
And now that teams have sort of, they haven't sussed it because some of it's just undefendable.
Mm.
What can you do when Gabriel is absolutely man-mounting you?
He's just like
a fucking Goliath in the box. And Arsenal set pieces will continue to provide goals for them. But their reliance on it is proved futile now. It's the points are dropping. Mm. You get knocked out of cups left, right, and center. It didn't to like sort of doubly bad that on top. I don't know. Like you lost Saka, who is your main goal threat.
Yeah,
Kai Havertz is just stinking it up. It's
so many players are stinking it up. Like Kai Havertz. Oh my god, against Man United. God help us. He missed about four sitters. But there's a lot of players that like Odegaard is starting to piss me off now. Like creatively, he can do kind of like the intricate passages of play. But there were so many opportunities in that Man United game where he got the ball edge of the box and just refused to have a shot.
Yeah.
And we've got a lot of players like that that always try and look for the extra pass. Blah, blah, blah. You see Bruno Fernandes get the ball edge of the box.
Hit it.
Bang it. First time. Absolutely banging goal.
That's why someone like Eze is such a good player.
Just take shots for fun.
He's got like the third most shots in the Premier League at the minute. And he scores goals left, right and centre.
And I get why coaches kind of train that out of you. Because obviously retaining possession is better than just a wild shot that goes out to like Rosette. But
there's
a balance. And as a captain, as a player that the season before last got like double digit goals. Mm. And a lot of them were edge of the box kind of nice finishes. Why is he not doing that anymore?
Especially when you don't have that front man who's like the source of all goals.
Yeah.
Everyone has to be chipping in. Mm. But like players like Martinelli, players like Kai Havertz, players like Odegaard, players like Trossard, they're not getting the goals.
Nah, it's bad.
I think Kai Havertz is your top scorer on 7 goals at the minute in the league. And that, I think, says it all for a team that create as many opportunities as Arsenal. Mm. To have your top scorer on 7 at this point is... I wouldn't say it's anything spectacular.
Oh, no, we need... look, you saw in the Newcastle game, like, Isak, you give him a couple of chances, bags goals.
Yeah. And it's not even just his ability in front of goal. It's his... The way Kai Havertz is really, really good with his movement. Mm. But it's almost too deep. He when the ball goes over the top, I'd never worry about him beating that defender. Mm. He might hold it up, but he's never gonna get to on the back the opposite side of the defender and run away with it.
Yeah.
Whereas Isak does that. Isak offers that threat. Mm. Defenders don't need to be worried about Kai Havertz getting in behind too much.
Yeah.
Most of his play is sort of like arriving at the back post or coming into that 6-yard box for that the touch tap in or you know, and he's good aerially. But it's not that same sort of killer instinct threat that a proper out and out number 9 has.
No.
And
give me Isak, man.
You know, people are starting to lose patience now. He's clearly a confidence player, and I think we spoke about this recently.
Yeah,
but you can only hold on to that for so long.
Yeah, like, it's like when the team, like you said, everyone's pitching in with goals. Your top goal scorer being on 7 doesn't look as bad because there's a 7 here, a 6 here, a 6 here, a 5. That doesn't look as bad. But when it's a 7 and then fucking 1s everywhere.
I think Gabriel's second in like 4.
Yeah, exactly. That just looks terrible. So you need, you just need goals either spread across or you need bagsmen. And we've got neither.
Yeah. And I look at that Arsenal team. And obviously, I think Raya, who I don't think had a great game at Man United, but Raya and any sort of combination of their back four when they've got Gabriel and Saliba in the middle is fine. Mm. I think it's a top 1-2 defence in the league. Then you've got like he who shall not be named, Declan Rice and Odegaard. Mm. And I think Declan Rice is class, but I'm sick and tired of watching him in the 8. I want him to be the deepest player in that midfield. Mm. He doesn't offer enough going forward to sort of validate his position on that in the pitch.
Yeah, when you can like introduce another more attacking player.
Odegaard, like you said, I think he is such a talented player. Mm. I think he's a little bit theatrical with his fucking waving his arms. It's like Bruno Fernandes, but like a B-Tech version.
It's like Bruno Fernandes, but for like... Oh, no, I can't say that.
Take you home to your parents, yeah, Bruno Fernandes.
Can't say that.
But yeah, he is clearly a fucking excellent player. But the movement has to happen in front of him for him to be effective.
I just don't know if he's clutch enough for me. Like I keep him in the team. I really like him. But like Rodri in that Champions League run for Man City, the amount of like clutch moments and goals that he scored.
Yeah.
Kev over the years, clutch. Don't know if Odegaard's got that clutch gene in him.
That's probably why Real Madrid let him go. But
that's probably it because Real Madrid live on clutch players, and he's not clutch like that.
Odegaard needs someone in that midfield next to him in front of Declan Rice to just to be that almost like a late run into the box. You know, I don't think your wide players have a fucking clue what's going on half the time. Saka is clearly the best player in that team.
Yeah, by distance as well. It's mad.
But going forward, you're fucking toothless. Really are. Yeah. And Gabriel Jesus is injured now for like forever.
Yeah, he's done now.
Like,
He came back.
Came back, slapped Palace up, yeah, and then said goodbye.
Yeah, it's mad.
He's done.
I think he's done that. Like, he last injury, coming back, he's like lost a bit. But another ACL, I feel for the guy.
Go back to Brazil. Sign for like Palmeiras and then chill out.
Enjoy kind of Copacabana.
Yeah, that's it. Some good steak. Jeez. But yeah, you know, you're just toothless. And you ain't got the killers up front that you used to have. Martinelli has just lost all sort of confidence. And I hate to see it because I really like Martinelli.
Yeah, we're Martinelli fans here. And like, was it the Man United game or the...
Newcastle game where he hit the post.
Hit the post, yeah. Like,
that's unlucky.
He's still putting a lot of effort in. He still gives it his all every time. But he is frustrating.
Yeah. And I think...
He's another one of those players. If the team's playing well and there's goals spread out, him doing his vibe isn't as painful. But when you're in the trenches a little bit...
Yeah, I just really think that, like, you can no longer rely on this solid foundation defence. Because teams will come at you now because they're less scared of what you've got going on the other end.
Yeah.
And you can't rely on having that solid defence and then just winning a game through set pieces.
No.
Because it's not going to happen. If your entire game plan now is to rely on set pieces, I'm sorry, but that's not Premier League material.
Jeez. So where does it go? Is that an Arteta problem? Is it a team problem? Is it like a recruitment problem?
We'll talk about Arteta because I think it's interesting. I think a lot of fans are losing patience with him now.
They are.
What are we on? Season 5?
Yeah.
It's like Game of Thrones. It's only getting worse.
I won't count his first season because his first season came in and it was 8th, but that was a kind of mixed. It was him, Emery and Lundberg that season.
So what's he had? 4 full seasons or 5?
So he's had an 8th, which I'm not going to count, and then another 8th.
That was a bad season.
That was a bad season. And then a 5th, second, currently second.
So he's in his 5th like full season.
Yeah.
My man, you have to bring something home. The family are starving.
I'm hungry.
Everyone is going to start losing patience.
Yeah.
You rarely get 5 years at any job in the...
Especially in this day and age, the cutthroat nature of the Premier League.
Something needs to change. And personally, if he doesn't win anything this season, you have to be cutthroat.
Yeah.
And with big... Don Carlo being sort of a little bit out at Real Madrid.
And I've heard rumours that Inzaghi wants a Premier League job.
I'd take Don Carlo every day of the week.
Yeah, I'd take either of them. But I'll play devil's advocate. And I'm still Arteta in at the moment. Mm. I did have a kind of crisis moment after the Man United game where I kind of looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, is this really happening? But I've cooled off. I am still Arteta in because the progression doesn't lie. So... points total before he arrived. I'll hit you with Wenger's last 3 years. 71, 75, 63. And then Unai Emery dropped to 70. And then there was that mixed season that I'm not going to count where we hit 56. Arteta in his first season, 61. And then Arteta dropped to 69 where he finished 5th. Now, 84, 89. And we're currently on 40 points playing half a game. So we're on course for another 80-plus season. There's progression there. This guy is doing good things.
He spent a lot of money.
I do agree with that. But he's come out and said, not a lot in the grand scheme of like.
No, I wouldn't. You're not.
We're not big
spenders.
You're
not Chelsea.
So for me... we need to see something.
His last two 100%. Seasons have bought him more than enough time to last the end of the season.
Yeah.
And like you say, the grass isn't always greener. Sometimes it's better the devil you know than the devil you don't. You know what you're going to get with Arteta.
Yeah.
And we've seen his ability to sort of bring players in, phase out old players, keep the club running well, keep a good mentality around the club.
He has apparently a way with words as well. Like, he's brought Declan Rice in. He's apparently charmed the pants off of Zubimendi. Do players want to play for Arteta? I don't know.
Probably because it's a good team to play in. Mm. It's a really good team to play in. And the football you play is great.
Yeah. I just don't know how fans can... Well, I was... if you're Arteta out, I was like, oh, no, you're dumb. Now, if you're Arteta out, I'm kind of like...
I'll hear you out.
Yeah. But how can you look at second place last season, second place the season before that, and we're currently second... And think, nah, let's get this done out of it.
Yeah, I mean, but if Arne Slot goes and wins it this season.
Like, we were doing sixths and sevenths and eighths before this guy arrived.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like you said, the grass isn't always greener, but I do agree.
But something has to give.
Something has to give. We're at if
you finish second in the league again this season, is it progression?
Well, it's not regression.
No, but like. At some point, Saliba's going to fuck off to Real Madrid.
That is my main thing.
Gabriel might fuck off somewhere else.
Yeah.
If Saka might say, well, we're getting the England boys like mad in Madrid. He might fuck off to Real Madrid. And then you've got a problem.
At that point, if everyone starts leaving, wallahi, the podcast
you've,
is cancelled.
You've got a problem there. You guys have to be supporting fucking St. Albans City.
Yeah,
mate.
I was going to say, we'll do away days at St. Albans or something. Jesus Christ.
But mate, something has to get... A Carabao Cup is one thing.
Mm.
He's saying a Community Shield is a trophy.
Yeah.
Is that from your manager's mouth?
I know.
That's nuts. Something has to give. That he needs to do something.
Okay.
Because, you know, if he doesn't bring home the bacon, I'm sorry, lad, but you're not, what good are you?
That's true. Like, a manager's job is... Well, a manager's job, if you're managing the top teams, is to win trophies. Like, not all managers' job is to win trophies. Like, if you're David Moyes coming in at Everton, your job is to stabilise the club. But if you're a manager of Arsenal, if you're a manager of Chelsea, Man United, City, Liverpool, your job is to come in and win every trophy that you're in.
Or at least one of them.
And this guy hasn't won any of them.
It's really starting to, like... You can only skate by for so long. And obviously, getting second place to Man City isn't skating by. Yeah. Getting Arsenal back to the quarters of a Champions League final isn't skating by. But we know how good this Arsenal team is. They've taken Man City to the sword, you know, to the very edge of the race.
And then we got sworded.
And then you got sworded. Yeah. But, like you said with Odegaard, if the man doesn't have it, he doesn't have it.
Maybe we've just got a team full of non-clutch boys. And a manager that's non-clutch.
I don't know about that, but you know, you've got...
Everyone says we're bottle jobs. Maybe we are.
But you... I don't know. I just think,
basically three in a row and I'll be like...
Basically,
yeah.
The be-all end of it is, if he does not win something at the end of the season, that man must go.
Must go.
Must.
What if we do, like, final of Champions League, second in the Prem...
You will be the greatest bottle jobs of all time.
That would be rough, actually. I'd rather not do that.
It's like when Liverpool went into the like, they were on charge for like four trophies and got knocked out of three of them in a week.
Yeah, but like I said, football's a fickle game. We could win three in a row and I'll be like, now we're back.
Yeah, you can do. But if, you know, Liverpool don't slip up, then you've got a problem.
They got Forest tonight as we record. Big game in the Premier League.
Massive game.
First versus third.
It's going to be a big window for Arsenal. Because for me, if they do not get... a bags man in.
Let's touch on that. Give me a name that Arsenal should get in. Obviously, like, we can't just go dash 150 mil on Isak right now.
Yeah, I think... Obviously, top names, I'm thinking Isak, Gyökeres.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's realistic.
Someone that we can get in Jan that could change our season.
Maybe John Duran.
It's not actually a
maybe,
bad shout.
Maybe John Duran... I think...
not a bad shout. Although...
Marshall Verdelli, I don't think he's going to be on the move. Maybe Man City, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Liam Delap, I don't think that's a great shout. Vlahovic, I would stay away with.
Evan Ferguson,
you're banking on just like... Yeah. You might as well have kept Nketiah at that point.
Yeah.
You know, I think John Duran's a really good shout. I think West Ham had a bid rejected for him for like 30 million.
I thought he'd be gettable, but the way that they're phasing Ollie Watkins out makes me think that they're putting a lot of
stake.
Maybe go
for Ollie Watkins.
Yeah, to be fair.
I think maybe go for Brian Mbeumo.
Oh, Mbeumo's a fucking bagsman.
Johan Wisser could even be a shout. He's a bagsman.
Yeah, no, Mbeumo's probably...
I don't know how Tony's been getting on in the Bissali, but maybe he's going for Tony.
Oh, I can't even think of a name.
Get Mitro back from Saudi.
But yeah.
You just need a serial killer in front of that goal. And there aren't a lot of them, which is why there's a problem. Mm. Maybe Jonathan Davis could be a good shout.
Yeah.
I think you need to go big. Because at this point, you have no strikers.
Yeah, Gabby Jesus out. Yeah.
You have no recognisable striker.
Yeah.
There must be someone in that youth setup who's a good striker.
Well, we had that Chido Martin guy that went to Man United, that kid that was bagging like eight every single year.
Oh, like the under eight guy.
Yeah, yeah. The under eight.
There's got to be... I think Donny Marlon's gone to Villa.
Villa, yeah. Maybe.
But he's had a stinker recently.
But would Villa sell to us? I don't know. Kind of competing for similar vibes.
I mean, if you went in off of 50 million, I think they're on the board as a PSR and FFP.
Yeah, maybe.
There are options out there.
Yeah, we need to be ambitious in the window for sure. Because yeah, you see the likes of Man City, they're already looking to kind of reinforce in the window.
Yeah, there's something has to give.
Techie, yeah,
something has to give.
We can't keep signing fucking DMs and centre backs.
I mean, you're gonna if that defence has any more players, yeah, you're gonna be, you know,
which is nuts because we actually still need like reinforcements because Calafuri's out still.
Tommy Asu's out.
Not back yet. Ben White's out. So it's like nuts that we get all these defensive recruitments in.
And then we need more.
It's mad.
There's probably a long list of players that Arsenal are interested in. Mm. But if they get to the end of January and they haven't bought in a fucking striker, the Emirates will catch flames. The place will burn to the ground. You're going to see the man on AFTV mental.
AFTV is going to get ugly, I think.
They're going to be, their subscriber count is going to be flying up.
Yeah.
But seriously, though, something has to give. It's got to be so frustrating to be a fan of that club where the answers are pretty simple.
They are, yeah, to be fair. It was sign a striker. It was sign Isak when he was available. It was sign, I don't know.
Mate, Jocker, if Kai Havertz gets injured, who do you play up top? Trossard in the nine?
Yeah, I don't like that.
What's going on?
I know.
How did you get this far?
Sax. You know. Sax, I miss you so much.
Mate, that boy.
Yeah, he's covered up a world of pain.
They're going to have him like with like cybernetic legs.
Genuinely, he's had this club on his back fucking since he was like 16.
I'd be sick of it.
Yeah, I know.
I'd be sick of it.
I mean, he's paid handsomely, but...
It's nuts.
He's got Arsenal fans, let us know in the comments down below. What was your reaction to going out of the FA Cup, pretty much out of the Carabao Cup? What's your reaction to the January transfer window? What do you think is coming up? Anything exciting or just stinky?
It's been quiet for Arsenal in January.
Yeah, apart from Zubimendi links today, literally today, not really much.
We're going to do the...
It's still early doors. To
like the annual Arsenal being linked to Higuain move.
Come on, Higuain and...
Out of retirement.
Yeah.
You get linked to Vlahovic like every year somewhere as well.
I wouldn't even mind him, to be fair.
Well, it's just someone who's played up front.
Someone that is a recognised striker, yeah.
Mate, it's rough.
We'll do a January transfer window roundup at the end.
Nothing's happened.
No, it's been pretty dry so far, apart from that Marlon signing.
Yeah.
Oh, what's his name? Kvaratskhelia going to PSG.
That's a big one. I saw they're looking at Garnacho. And who was it? Garnacho. Someone else.
Who's that, PSG?
Yeah, no, you're Napoli as replacements.
Oh, no, yeah, I did see that. And I saw, Chelsea were interested in Tell from Bayern.
Oh, yeah, Matthias Tell, yeah. Oh, it could be interesting, could get interesting. Hopefully it spices up because it's been dry.
Yeah, we'll get back into the swing of podcasting and life.
Yeah.
We've got some exciting plans coming up.
Yeah, we do. Come on. Exciting. Anyway, guys, it's been Board Draw. Episode 121, nice and sweet and short.
Arsenal, buck up your ideas, mate.
Or we're coming for you.